Chapter 26, verse number 18 is where we want to look at this morning. In the Word of the Lord, Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 18. Praise God. I'm going to read down through verse number 22. Genesis 26, chapter 18th verse. And just trust that God will touch our hearts today with the Word of the Lord. Amen. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence, did you get that? Verse 22, he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Praise God. You may be seated this morning. "For the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." There's a singer by the name of Paul Overstreet, and he wrote a song about this particular story in Genesis chapter 26. And the story says basically this, or the song rather, he named Isaac Ike. So he substituted Ike for Isaac. He says, "Ike had a blessing from the Lord up above. Gave him a beautiful woman to love, a place to live, some land to farm, two good legs and two good arms. The devil came sneaking around one night, decided he would do a little evil to Ike. Figured he'd hit old Ike where it hurts, so he filled up all Ike's wells with dirt. Ike went out to get his morning drink, got a dip full of dirt, and his heart did sink. He knew it was the devil, so he said with a grin, 'God blessed me once, he can do it again.' So when the rains don't fall and all the crops fail, and the cow ain't putting any milk in the pail, don't sit around waiting for a check in the mail. Just pick up your shovel and dig another well. Pick up your shovel and dig another well." Praise God. Now, looking at the text this morning and rehearsing the words to this song, I got to thinking about the different ways that different believers respond to adversity. And I want to preach to you this morning about responding to adversity. Responding to adversity. Some Christians respond successfully to adversity. And I don't mean that in successful, in the terms of what this world thinks of, but they respond successfully as far as God is concerned. Their faith is strengthened, their walk is closer with God, and they progress and they draw closer to the Lord as God continues to supply and bring provisions for them. In other words, they do like Ike did in the song. Amen. They say that because God blessed me once, he can do it again. They pick up the shovel and they dig another well. But unfortunately, not every Christian responds positively to the adversity that comes in their lives. And instead of praising God and walking in faith and perseverance, they develop a "woe is me" attitude. They look at the things of the past and the circumstances of the present, and instead of looking by faith at the provisions and promises of God, they get sidetracked and disillusioned. With that in mind, I want to preach to you from today's text and give you four thoughts or four principles in dealing with adversity successfully. Amen. The first one is this. And this is deep. You might want to write this down. This is probably one of the greatest things you'll ever hear today, is that Christians must expect adversity. Don't everybody shout at once, you'll ruin my message. Christians must expect adversity. you are going to have opposition. If you're a child of God, you will encounter adversity. Amen. I really believe that the key to overcoming adversity is to realize that it is the norm for every Christian. When you are attacked by the opposition, by the forces of evil, when the waves assail you, the storm is fierce, understand you're not the first one to go through it and you won't be the last one. Every Christian that's blood-bought and as a child of God is going to have to endure some storms in life. Whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's a family problem, whether it's job-related, whether it's the elements of nature destroy your home, whatever it is, there's always going to be adversity that's going to come to the child of God. Amen? Genesis 26, we learn that Isaac was a man of God who did what God told him to do. He stayed in the land despite the famine, and yet God blessed him just the same. Verses 12 and 14, we see that some of these blessings were made manifest by the crops that he had, as well as the flock and the herd that he had. And verse 15 and 16, we see that even in the land of famine, God's blessing him, but there's also opposition that comes and opposes him from the blessings of God. His wells, which were the tangible and the symbolic sign of the blessing of God, were being stopped up by the Philistines. He was forced to move from the land. King Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, the host of the army, forcing him from his land so they could take his property and his wells. And yet, God still blessed in the time of adversity and opposition. This shows us that receiving God's blessing doesn't mean having an easy life. The two don't even equate. You see, we've got a prosperity doctrine that's rampant in the Christian arena that says that God will bless you and that you'll never have another problem. That's not true. Amen. God's blessings and adversity will be side by side sometimes. Amen. And there will be times that you'll have blessing and little adversity. But if you're doing your best to live for God, you can count on it. Put it on the calendar. The devil's going to be on your trail. There will be adversity in your life as you live for God. Can you say amen? As a Christian, you basically become a target for the devil, whether directly or indirectly. It could be the other people the devil uses. It could be other elements. It could be a direct attack from the devil. But whatever it is, because this is true, none of us should be surprised when adversity comes. Amen? We should not be taken back and floored that we're going through the problems we're going through. We should not think that we're an isolated case and that God is picking on us, because every Christian is going to go through adversity. Jesus Himself said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Paul said in Acts 14:22, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." James, the brother of Jesus, said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Every believer, no matter how spiritual or faithful that you are, will have to go through adversity. Amen. You will face troubles and trials. And if you will understand that and expect it, it will help you to go through the adversity and be successful. The second principle, Christians should persevere during adversity. Amen. Let me say this. Isaac faced opposition and he faced adversity. Every step forward took him two steps backward. Have you been there?
Amen. Now, if you tried to endure and endeavor to do right, and it didn't matter how much you tried, it seemed that you went backwards instead of forwards. We've all been there. Amen. There ain't a one of us in the Christian world that has not faced that time in our lives where we have done our best, and it seems like the more we do to live for God, the further back we get. And Isaac was facing this in this adverse situation as the Philistines. Here is Isaac. He's digging a well and he finds water and there's a blessing there, and then the enemy comes in and stops it up. Hey, it's easier to stop up than it is to dig up. Amen. It's easier to destroy than it is to build. Oh, yes. When we're setting up our kids' crusade equipment, it takes quite a bit of time to set up, and it only takes about an hour to take it all down and pack it up. Amen. The same is true in our Christian experience. It takes years to build reputation. It takes years to build up your faith in God and your trust in the Lord, and it just takes one moment of passion of sin to destroy everything that's ever been done for the good and the glory of God. And so, Christians should persevere during adversity. Now, keep in mind that in these ancient times, they were living in an arid land where water was a rarity. And yet, it was also one of the most essential commodities. They had to have water to survive. And how did they get it? They dug wells. The wells were their very livelihood. From it came the living essentials to life. Man had to have it. The beast had to have it. The land had to have it. In order for there to be life, there had to be wells dug. And so keep that in mind as we preach this morning, that it was a very important and necessary commodity. Amen. Wells were difficult to dig in hard earth and rock. And when they did dig a well, sometimes it would come up dry. Not every well that was ever dug produced water. Some came up empty. But when Isaac, it seemed that the hand of the Lord was upon him, and the Philistines, even though they stopped up the wells he dug, he didn't give up. He didn't throw up the white flag of surrender. He didn't have a woe is me pity party, but he grabbed a shovel, and like Ike in the song, God blessed me once and he can bless me again, and he dug another well until water was found. I'm telling you, as a Christian, the second principle is that you must persevere, amen, in the midst of opposition and adversity. Praise God. There's a story of a little girl that was blind, totally blind. As an infant, she was blinded as the result of a terrible accident. She grew up in life, and many of you will know who I'm talking about as we sing her songs from time to time. And she lived till in her 90s. Her name, Fanny Crosby. Amen. And she wrote a song while she was 8 years old. That song said, "Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot. And I won't." Amen. I know life can be unfair. I know that the enemy can steal from us that is rightfully ours. I understand that opposition does come. But at that point, you're going to have to make a choice. You can look back to the past and you can lament and wail over what's taken place. Or you can look to the future and by faith, you can claim the promises of God. And like Ike of the song says, "God bless me once, he can do it again." Listen, if you get to the point where it just seems like you're going to have to give up, just grab you a shovel and dig another well. You may have to move over to another spot, but you can still accomplish much for God, because little is much when God is in it. It ain't no coincidence that every well Isaac dug, water came out of. Praise God. You know why? Because God was there in the time of adversity. Praise God. Here's another story of an example of endurance. and perseverance. When he was 7 years old, his family was forced out of their home on a legal technicality. He had to work to help support them. At age 9, his mother died. At age 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't good enough. At 23, he went into debt to become a partner in a small store. 26, his business partner died, and leaving him a huge debt that took him years to repay. At 28, after courting a girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him. She said no. At 37, on his third try, he was elected to Congress, but 2 years later, he failed to be reelected. At 41 years of age, his 4-year-old son died. At 45, he ran for the Senate and he lost. At 47, he failed as the vice presidential candidate. At 49, he ran for the Senate again and he lost. At age 51, he was elected as the President of the United States of America. His name was Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents America's ever had. I'm talking about perseverance in the midst of opposition, in the midst of adversity. That is the very principle that we must know and have depth in our heart, that we will persevere no matter what. Amen. The third principle, Christians should believe that God will bless them despite adversity. Amen. I said in the second principle that Christians need to persevere to be successful in overcoming the adversity. This does not mean, and I do not believe, that human ability alone can make you successful in overcoming adversity. Amen. I don't believe that believers should persevere because they believe in the power of perseverance. I believe that believers ought to persevere because they believe in the power of God. Amen. There's only so much you can do on your own. Amen. But when God steps into the picture, when the Lord comes by, that's what makes the difference in the time of adversity. That's how you'll be successful in overcoming the opposition. It's because if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And so to overcome and be successful, you're going to have to realize, amen, that God will still bless even in the times of adversity. Praise God. Amen. It wasn't normal to find good wells so easily, but Isaac endeavored, and the wells that he did dig produced the life-giving water that was so much needed. Amen. In fact, King Abimelech, in the 28th verse of Genesis 26, even recognized that the Lord was with Isaac. Oh, yes. Has somebody ever come to you and said, I don't know how you just went through what you went through. Surely it must be a higher power. Surely the Lord was with you. That's exactly what it is. You can't make it on your own, and you can't endure and come through opposition smelling like a rose except the Lord be with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Trying to make it on your own, you might succeed to a certain point, but you'll never go higher until God steps into the picture and says, I'll raise you up. I'll hold you up with my right hand. I'll cover you with my feathers. Under my wings shall you trust. I'm telling you, if we'll hide ourselves in God, if we'll get into that place of the secret place of the Most High and abide in the Holy of Holies, it's the Lord that'll see us through the time of adversity and opposition. It's God that'll fight the battle for us. Amen. Finally, to the point, Isaac didn't have to run anymore. He didn't have to move on. Amen. He got to the place, amen, where God was blessing him. So much so that the enemy recognized that it was the Lord. Whoo! Wouldn't it be great if the critics, amen, in our time of opposition could say, I don't know how they made it except for God. I don't know how they endured except it must be the Lord. Amen. That doctor of mine, he told me, said, Dave, I don't know how you make it through except that your faith in God is stronger than the headaches themselves. Oh, I'm telling you, amen, God has never left us, never forsaken us. He's still very mindful of where you are and what you're going through. Just as He was with Isaac, so He is with you today in the year 2004. He knows where you're at. Amen. The fourth principle to respond to adversity successfully is that Christians should recognize that good can come from adversity. Oh yeah. Good can come from opposition. That man that was shipwrecked that we'd read about some time ago on an uninhabited island, got there on the sand, swam to the shore, laying there, out of breath, exhausted, prayed that God would save him, looked out the horizon and couldn't see any sign of rescue boats. After a day or so, he finally built a very crude hut from branches that had been laid around and put a shelter together. And that night in the shelter, again prayed that God would save him. The next morning, got up, rummaged around that island for food, found some wild berries to sustain him. On his way back, he saw that his hut was in flames, a smoke billowing into the sky. Fell to his knees, understanding that everything he'd ever put his hand to, everything he'd ever had, now was gone. He laid on the rock that night, looking up into the starry sky. And he said, "Well, I'll just build another hut in the morning." In the early dawn of the morning, the sound blast of a ship whistle was heard. He jumped to his feet, ran to the shore, and there out in the harbor was a great vessel with a rowboat of a rescue team rowing toward him. When they got close enough, he yelled, he said, "How did you know I was here?" They said, "We saw your smoke signal." Oh, can I tell you the problem you're facing right now could be the smoke signal that's going to bring the blessing of God. It's going to bring the rescue that you need in your life. It's going to bring the deliverance that you need in your life. I'm telling you, you need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. Amen. Amen. It could be the blessings just around the corner. You can't see it this morning, but it's there. Amen. What you need to do is not give up. You need to grab a shovel and dig another well. Amen. Our troubles can actually be turned into blessings. Here's a couple of ways. Notice this. It said that Isaac went up to Beersheba, verse 23. Now you may be saying, what's so important about that? Well, he started off in the land of Gerar. The land of Gerar is outside of Canaan's land, and Beersheba is inside Canaan's land. When he had to move, he didn't go further away from the promised land. He moved into the promised land. He could have stayed right where he was. He could have stayed put and fought the enemy. But he had to move. And you know where he moved? Canaan's land is a type of the presence of God. That's where God was dwelling. And so what did he do? He didn't move further away from God. He moved closer to God. I've seen some Christians when adversity comes and opposition comes and tragedy strikes, they get bitter and turn towards God, away from Him, and they leave the ark of safety. If anything, our opposition and our adversity should draw us closer to God because we realize how inadequate we are and how adequate God is. And as David said, "I'll look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." It ought to draw us closer to God. Amen. The second good thing that resulted from adversity was that others could see the wonderful way God was working. And just as I mentioned just before, that king Abimelech and the others looked and said, "Surely God is with them. Surely the Lord is with them." Amen. There's a point that you have to come and say, "God is with me." Amen. The enemies around you will have to admit, "Surely the Lord is on their side. There's no human way possible that they could accomplish and be successful like they are, except it be the Lord." Amen. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. Isaac was a man who expected setbacks. Amen. He experienced opposition, but he didn't give up. He just dug another well. Come to the piano, Sister Johnston. A French mountain climber by the name of Jean Guiano tells the story of a shepherd that he met in the French Alps when he was climbing back in 1913. At the time, because of carelessness, the mountains around Provence, France were barren. Villages and towns had been deserted because of the barrenness around. While mountain climbing, Guiano came to the shepherd's hut and he was invited to spend the night there. After dinner, Guiano watched this shepherd, who was 55 years of age, begin to sort through a pile of acorns. He discarded the ones that were too small and the ones that were cracked. And when he counted out 100 perfectly shaped, perfectly sized acorns, he retired and he went to bed. Guiano found out that this shepherd, over the last 3 years, had planted those acorns across that barren mountainside. In 3 years' time, up until that present, he had planted 1,100,000 trees. 20,000 of them had already sprouted. Out of all those planted, the shepherd surmised that probably half of them would be eaten away by rodents or destroyed by the elements of nature, while the other half would more than likely survive. World War I came, and after World War I, Guiano returned to the mountainside to find that there was incredible rehabilitation. There was a forest accompanied by a chain reaction in nature. There were water flowed in once empty brooks and vegetation sprung up here and there. Trees had sprung up and were growing. Guiano then returned after World War II. 20 miles from the lines, this shepherd had still meticulously planted those acorns. Still labored to plant as many as he could, 100 in a day's time. Little by little, as Guiano got back to that part of the country, he looked at the reformation of the land. Whole regions glowed, amen, with health and prosperity. This is what he wrote. He said, "On the site of the ruins that I had seen in 1913, now stands neat farms. The old streams fed by the rains and snows that the forest conserves are flowing again. Little by little, the villages have been rebuilt. People from the plains, where land is costly, have settled here, bringing youth, motion, and the spirit of adventure." Woo! There ain't no telling what you can do when God is in it. What some of you need to do this morning is come to this altar and grab you a spiritual shovel and dig another well. Oh! Some of you have got your well stocked up this morning. Amen. Ain't a thing you can do about it except move over a space, put your spade down, put your shovel down, and dig again. The tragedy is many give up and say, "I'll never be able to get the blessings of God. I'll never be." And you're wore out by opposition. You're tired. Amen. You've dug and you've dug and there's no water. One of these days you're going to hit it. One of these days, even in the midst of adversity and opposition, you'll dig and the rivers of life will come out of the wells of salvation and will flood your ever-loving soul. And you'll be able to look and say, "Surely the Lord is in this place and He's working on my behalf." I'm telling you this morning, some of you just need to grab your shovel again and dig in and say, I'm here for the endurance. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to triumph. Amen. Life's coming out of this desert place. I'm in a valley, but while I'm in the valley, He restoreth my soul. Oh my. Let's stand together this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. This great story about Isaac. The fact that he persevered. The fact that adversity did come. The fact that the blessings of God were still there. Oh Lord. I pray, God, You'd help somebody here today in this tabernacle. Lord, encourage somebody's heart. Lord, help somebody to keep persevering. It ain't quitting time yet. Lord, the blessings of God are just ahead. Oh yes, it may be a smoke signal right now. It may be that the problems we're facing are just getting your attention, and You're dispatching the host of heaven and the angels of the Lord to encamp around about us. Oh God, I pray that You'd move in this altar this morning. Touch us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need help, help's right here. You say, I can pray in my seat. That's fine and well. But I believe if you're really sincere and you really want to dig a well, there's some of you just need to respond right now and step out and come and grab your spiritual shovel and start digging. Amen. Oh, just start digging, because the blessings of God are just close. So close, you can almost smell them. You can almost taste them. You can almost feel them. You can almost grasp them. Amen. Some of you haven't felt God in some time, and you just need to feel Him this morning. Put His arm around you and say, child, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Oh, let's touch God today. Let's see what the Lord will do. Let's everyone find a place to pray. Let's see what God will do as we dig this morning. Many things.